Well, good morning, Potter's Foursquare Church. I'm coming to you this morning from my bedroom. So, different places regarding the lockdown. We are in, I don't know, 6, 7 weeks, something like that. But, so I could be at any different place, which is kind of weird. I'm used to being every Sunday morning, every Wednesday, but I'm getting used to this. So this morning, we are going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We are in the midst of a series on the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the origins of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how this Holy Spirit works in our lives, the fruits of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit we're doing in parts. And so we are at the second part of the gifts, actually the third part. The first part was just an overview of the gifts, all of them. The first part was gifts to know, and that was the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, and the distinguishing between spirits. And then this morning we're going to be talking about the gifts to do. So the first one was gifts to know, three gifts, and now it's gifts to do. And I want to go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. I'll begin reading there out of the NIV. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another gifts of faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, and to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of those tongues. All of these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." So, Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning as we study. God, we are grateful and thankful for the insight that you've given us into the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would open our hearts up this morning and our ears to see and to hear what the Spirit is saying and doing in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there is this gift of faith. And if we're going deeper, by definition, the gift of faith is this mysterious surge of confidence, which sometimes arises within a person faced with a specific situation or need. That is a definition from an old friend of ours, John Wimber, who pioneered the Vineyard Church movement. Let me read the definition again. This is his definition, and I tend to agree with it. The mysterious surge of confidence which sometimes arises within a person faced with a specific situation or need. So this can apply personally or for others or for Christian, you know, projects or financial church decisions that we have to make. One of the requirements that we have for people that serve on our church council is they have to exercise the gift of faith. There's no question. When you're dealing with church budgets, especially now in this season where offerings are way down and we are, you know, struggling, we have to live by faith. And I want to be surrounded by people who make faith decisions. It seems like over the 20 plus years of our church, we've had different boards, different men and women serving on the corporate board, the financial board. And most times, you know, we have been very conservative with which how we foresee God providing for the church. But the gift of faith really believes God to go above and beyond. And it's something that I think a lot of us need to have, not just in church leadership. But right now, I mean, it's so important to have the gift of faith with the situation that we're currently going through. A lot of people are fearful. The gift of faith speaks against fear. A lot of people are worried. A lot of people are uncertain. The gift of faith is a confident word that God speaks to us. So faith here is translated from the Greek word pistis, meaning faith or faithfulness or steadfastness, a firm persuasion, the conviction which is based upon hearing, not upon sight or knowledge, but firmly relying with confidence on the promises of God's word. So some examples of this was Daniel in the lion's den. We know that he went into the lion's den knowing that God was going to take care of him. It's in Daniel chapter 6. I think the things that Daniel did in the book of Daniel, when you read through the accounts and just how he exercised his faith, are really speak to the exercise of this gift. Now, I want to remind you, when I bring up Old Testament examples of the gifts that were being used, they are not even in comparison to the power that the gifts have in the New Testament, because they're distributed by the Holy Spirit, right? These are the gifts of the Spirit. These are the greater things Jesus promised that we would do. So a good example in the New Testament is when the men, you know, they brought the paralytic to the house, and the house was filled with people, and they couldn't get in the front door, so they jumped on the roof, and they carved a hole through the roof, and they lowered this guy down to be healed, and Jesus was impressed with their faith. Another one is the centurion who asked Jesus to heal the boy without even leaving where he was at or laying hands on him. And Jesus said, you know, you have great faith. He said, look, I'm a captain over 100, and I tell them to do something, they do it. And you are the ultimate captain. If you speak it, it'll happen. And that's an amazing thing when you consider some of the things that God wants to do in our life. So it is for financial provision, not only for the church, but for your home. And there's a man named Ross Tooley. He was a YWAM leader. And this was the way that he expressed the gift of faith. And I thought it was cool. He says, Ross Tooley says, standing in the queue to buy an airline ticket with no money in his pocket. That's faith. That's, you know, you're standing in line to buy something and there's people in front of you and God has to provide before you get to that place where you have to pay. And I think a lot of times that's exactly what the gift of faith is. Gift of faith is acting when you can't see, acting when you don't know, but being fully persuaded that God will be right there. And guys, this gift is essential for where we are now in our life. You know, asking if things will ever be back to normal and mourning the old way of the way we used to live our lives. I honestly believe it is over. I don't think we'll ever go back to living the way we used to live. There'll be some form of this, you know, government control. It is falling right in line with where the Bible says that we are going. When you have a group of people that is so large in this world that will listen to professionals and you know, those that should know, and they have the power to dictate policy. They have the power to dictate our freedoms. And, you know, living by faith says, God, we're going to live by faith in you. And, you know, it's not that I follow the rules that the government tells me because I know that I'm supposed to be obedient to my government. However, I would have no problem being around a group of people. I would have no problem going to church. I would have no problem contracting this disease because I have faith that God's going to watch over me. I've had cancer, I've had heart attack, I've had, you know, blind in both my eyes at one time. You know, this is nothing. And I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not asking you to have the same mindset that I have, but I have faith that God is going to take care of me. I have faith to believe in that moment that he will be with me. The second one is the gifts of healing. So the definition here is by Rodney Francis, and I like this. It says, to supernaturally bring care for the sick, physical, spiritual, and emotional, to make whole to the fullest sense of the word, saving from disease and its effects. I'll read that again. To supernaturally bring cure for the sick, physical, spiritual, and emotional, to make whole to the fullest sense of the word, saving from disease and its effects. And again, guys, this is so poignant to, I mean, the amazing thing is the Lord spoke to me about the gifts of the Spirit months before, and we started months before we even started this coronavirus lockdown. And now I am completely, I understand exactly why God wanted to do that, why he wanted to speak that word to the church. It says in this particular text that this gift is plural. It's gifts of healing. And the reason why it's gifts of healing is has a lot to do with the definition that we read, because it's physical, it's spiritual, and emotional. I think so many times, guys, we get caught up with the physical healing, like seeing limbs grow back or somebody blind can receive their sight again, and we lose track and we lose sight of the importance of emotional healing and spiritual healing. And those three are just equally important to God. Oftentimes Jesus said, you know, what's easier to say, take up your mat and follow me. But what did Jesus do? He healed from the inside out. The first thing he said to the man was, take heart, your sins are forgiven. And nobody thought in those words was healing at all. And he said, then take up your mat and walk. He healed from the inside out. And I think that so many times we as Christians, you know, we want to see the dramatic, but sometimes the dramatic is seeing somebody radically healed through, a recovery program or a Bible study that focuses on a specific form of recovery and just allowing the Spirit to do what the Spirit is going to do. The healing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 is translated from the word lama, meaning healing or restoring. Restoration is really what it means. And another definition for this word lama is a cure, right? And so we should be praying right now for that. You know, healing was a vital part of Jesus's ministry. He taught the disciples to follow his examples in healing the sick, and it should be an ordinary part of our ministry. Before I get into the examples, I want you to understand, I don't know if you caught that, but there's in the word healing, in the Greek word healing, there's to make the body whole, and then the other part is to bring a cure. And right now we have anointed, talented men and women that I believe are under God's hand in our country trying to find a cure for this COVID disease. And I think that when we get one, it's going to be by God's hand. And I how do I know that? Because, you know, we're looking at bringing the sick in and laying hands on them in church. And yes, that's one way God could heal them. I fully believe that God can still heal people. But yet sometimes God gives people the healing ability to come up with a medicine or an antidote for something, for some disease that's going to bring a cure. So the example that I have is Paul on the island of Mileta, and it's in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read because there was a lot going on this island. In verse 28, it says, once safely on the shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and he put it on the fire. A viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief officer of the island. He welcomed us into his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed and suffering with a fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and he healed him. And when this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. It's a beautiful thing when God heals because it's contagious. And we see that here with Paul on this island. It started with him, then it started with this man being, he prayed first and then he laid hands. And I think it's important, guys, that we go off of what God's order says. If the Bible says, if there are any that are among you sick, you go seek out the elders of the church, and they will anoint you with oil. For many years, I think in our church, we didn't do it wrong, but we certainly didn't do it the faith way. And the faith way is for the person who is struggling or the person who is sick to seek out the elders and ask for prayer. That is the step of faith. It's not for us to say, are you sick? We want to help you. It's for the sick to say, I'm going to the elders because that's what the Bible tells me to do. And our job as elders is to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Now, does the oil, does it have magical power? No. Guys, God is easy to understand if you just follow and do your part. If the Bible said that we were to do something other than oil, then I would do it. It's not for me to question that. It's for me to be obedient to do what God says needs to be done. And as long as I pastor a church, we are going to anoint with oil the sick and pray over them that God would heal. Sometimes God heals when we do that, and sometimes God does not. But that doesn't mean, if he doesn't, that we stop, right? And I think that's where the confusion comes in, and we need to be faithful. And sometimes if he doesn't heal, then we go back and we do the same thing. We continue to anoint, we continue to pray until we see God do something. Sometimes I think we give up too early. I was blown away by a story. I was listening to a podcast of a pastor, and in his church they had a worship leader, and the son of the worship leader had died, and instead of going into mourning, they went into fasting and prayer that God would raise him from the dead. And when I first heard that, I got to be honest with you, I was like, well, you know, that wasn't very smart. However, it is the example that Jesus sets for us. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then before we have a funeral, we should pray for people to be raised from the dead. It has happened in this world before. It has happened in this century before. It has happened in our time space. It continues to happen. It may not be as prevalent as it was back in the New Testament days of the church for starting, but it still happens. So the third gift here is the working of miracles, right? So definition of that is a remarkable or surprising event that happens by the direct intervention of God, not following the general rule or laws of nature. The word working is, of course, this action word, and it's translated from the Greek word energema, meaning energy. It's where we get that word from. To be at work or to be effective or actively operate or to energize or to be energized. The word miracles here is from the word that we get dunamis, which is the power that we have, the miracle working power. It's an act of power. It's an act of miraculous power. And it's the capability to do anything. It is a divine power. And I think that's what we need to understand. It's not by, we don't conjure up these things by circumstances and music and hype, right? It's when God works through the working of miracles, great things happen. Things change in the moment. And this is a very ambiguous sort of gift here because it's not specific as to what the miracle is. It could be anything. There is a couple of examples, though. The Peter walking on water is a miracle in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still in Joshua 10, and it did. This gift is desperately needed to impact the unbelieving Christians and moreover, the unbelieving world. And if you're serious about following more of these gifts, guys, you got to apply yourself to using them. You have to ask for his help. You got to set aside the time that God can speak to you. You got to confess any sin that might get in the way of you using that gift. You got to cultivate a strong desire for the gifts and operate in them and expect to see God use you. You got to work alongside other people who are gifted, right? And in our church, I know we can't meet right now, but when you know the sick come up and if you want the gift of healing, you should be up there laying hands on them, believing by faith, the gift of faith and the gift of healing that they're going to be healed. And you exercise that gift. You need to get up from what you're doing and go and engage in these things and always remain teachable and always work within the guidelines of the framework of the leadership of the local church. That's what our job is. I think so many times we leave this to other people, and maybe God is desiring to use you. So this morning, you know, we can really use these gifts today. These are applicable for today. And the first point of application here is that it's our faith that can inspire those who lack it. You know, I'm in the process right now of beginning to write a commentary on the book of Romans. I've wanted to do this for years, and really haven't had the time, working two jobs and you know, keeping up with life, all these kids and all this tragedy. I wanted to do it after my son Gregory died, but to be honest with you, I just wasn't in the right frame of mind. I'm still struggling with that, to be honest. But the thing that I realized is that when we step out to do something, right? If it's me stepping out to write a commentary on the book of Romans, in the introduction I put, you know, this is not a scholarly work. I don't consider myself a scholarly Bible student. Yes, I'm educated, but my goal in my ministry is to take what is difficult and make it simple so that people can understand and love God by understanding his word. So number one, it's our faith that can inspire those who lack it. And when we step out in faith, it inspires other people to do so. Paul wrote to the Romans in the first chapter, and he said that their faith was world renowned, right? That he had heard of their faith, the faith of the Roman church, even though he hadn't been there. There was no internet, there was no social media, there was no phone, there was no TV, and yet the faith of the Romans was so strong that Paul heard about it miles and miles and miles away, a lifetime away, really. And we live in a time when the faith of many is weak, and in some cases, it's non-existent. And this is the perfect climate to exercise our faith. And people who need hope, the hope that lies within us, it's our job. We need to be exercising that faith. Why? Because it's contagious. And if you're living in a home right now and there's depressed people that won't come out of the room, and the, you know, everybody's just sort of, you know, this was a novel thing, you know, stay home and the commercials and, you know, we're doing our job. And now it's just getting old and it's starting to smell, right? Somebody in that home needs to step up by faith. Somebody in that home needs to believe, or nobody in that home will believe. Nobody in that home will trust God for the miracle. And we need a miracle. Guys, this is serious. We could be in this for a prolonged period of time. So number two, our world needs healing. It needs it now. It needs spiritual healing, emotional healing, physical healing. It needs someone to find a cure for this disease by God's direction. And our faith can usher in this miraculous healing. And we need to be trusting God for it. We need to be praying for these scientists, praying that this will happen soon, because our freedom depends on it, right? And not only that, the fact that we go back to church depends on getting a cure for this disease. So get engaged in the work of healing. There are still emails that go out, you know, weekly from our church about people who need healing. You can do what Jesus did. You can pray for healing without even laying hands on that person, and God can hear your request and send healing to that person immediately. That is the gift of faith and the gift of healing operating together. And gifts of miracles, we still need to see those miracles. We need to see miracles to change our politicians and the way that they're looking at this. Instead of fear and safety, they need to understand miraculously by the hand of God what this is doing to our communities, what this is doing to small businesses and people that love this country. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to see all the devastation. But guys, our God is not a God of heartbreak. Our God is a God of promise and hope. Our God is a God of miracles, and he can turn this. And we need to believe that God can still do above and beyond what we can imagine or even think. I hope this has blessed you this morning. I hope you consider these three particular gifts and their usage. And again, these are things that you can do at home. These are things that you can start now. You don't need to wait to start engaging. These aren't dependent upon us meeting. You could start them now. You could start believing now. You can start the healing for other people that you know. You can start praying now. You could start asking God to use you in the miraculous. He's capable of doing that. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you add blessing to your word this morning, Lord. I pray that you would speak to hearts and in some cases change our heart, Lord. These gifts that you have given us are awesome, but if they remain packaged and unwrapped, then shame on us. God, your desire was for us to unwrap them and use them every day, especially when we find a need for them. Father, I pray that you would put us in close contact with need. It's all over. All we need to do is put on our spiritual eyes, and we can see it, we can hear it. It's everywhere, Lord. Use us mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are listening online, you stumbled upon this service, or maybe our website, and you don't know Jesus, and you don't have these gifts working in your life, it's very easy. You need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you do that, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you can pray that prayer and simply ask God to come into your heart, and you will be radically saved and endowed with all of these gifts, not just the ones that I've talked about here, but the ones last week and the ones that we're going to cover next week. So keep listening. And if you've made that decision to follow Christ, give the church a call. The number's there on the website. And again, please look in the devotion tab. Pastor Paula and I have been putting devotions in there. I'll be working on one later this evening. Hopefully get that posted soon. Remember, the devotions speak more to the times in which we are in right now. They're short. They're 8 to 10 minutes long. Maybe a pick-me-up. That was the sort of the intent behind the idea. So check that out. And again, if you need anything, guys, call. Call the church. Call me. You all have my number. If you don't have it, it's literally in the church. When you just hold on and listen to the voicemail there, you'll get my personal phone number. Give me a call. I'd love to pray with you. If you're struggling or if you have questions about these things, let me know. Why, church? Because he has shown you, man and woman, what he requires of you, the good that he requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Go and do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.